Ladies and gentlemen, the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and we've been talking to a couple brewers. We were in Lake Ann, and then we went to the Mitten. And now we're going to just wrap this thing up because Chaz was at the Beer Fest. Don't you mostly do logistics there? I mean,
yeah, I help with the planning. I run high-low. I work with the keg team and a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff, really.
Yeah.
But I also do the welcome speech and the cask tapping.
Oh, that's right. And the Mitten was, you said, provided the cask.
They provided the cask this time. And we try and go to somebody that's local to the festival to fill a cask with one of their beers that's normally in production, but to finish it in the cask. So you get that real old world style of natural carbonation.
Yeah. Does that make it taste different in your opinion?
Oh, yeah, it does. It you tend to get a smoother taste because you don't get as much carbonic acid in it that you do when you do a forced carbonation.
Okay.
So it's a smoother, lighter taste to it. And sometimes guys do big beers. Jeff decided to go with a small beer.
Right.
And it turned out beautiful. And he filled a pin with it, and he took like 7 weeks to let it naturally carbonate up. And we had twin brothers, the Engel brothers, whose birthday it was. And Colin's been a longtime guy in the truck for me on the beer trucks.
Okay.
Running Pallet Jack and helping out there. Well, his twin brother came to his first beer festival. So I said, you boys are tapping the cask. And so they had a great time with that. And their older brother actually got them pink sashes and said, it's a girl. But, you know, older brothers.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. So the Winter Beer Fest is behind us. You said, I think we were talking about this, there was over 90 brewers there?
Yeah, there was, I think, 93 brewers and 499 different beers.
Wow.
And that doesn't even count the ask. So
that's 500. Yeah, yeah. So you, I know you were busy, and you certainly can't go around and try them all. But when you're there and you're in the middle of this thing, there's got to be, all puns intended, a buzz going on about one beer or two, or somebody's got this really cool stuff. Did you hear of anything like that when you were there?
Well, you know, a lot of guys, everybody has their style. There's the IPA guys like me. Then there's the people that like the sours. And I was hearing a lot of things about some fruity sours that people were really, really into. A couple of barrel-aged. Barrel-aged seemed to slow up a little bit this year. They're expensive to make.
Yeah.
And
so tell me, if the listener doesn't know, what is the unique characteristics of a barrel-aged beer?
A barrel-aged beer is typically a higher alcohol beer that they'll put into a whiskey or wine barrel.
Okay.
To finish aging it and get some flavors out of that barrel.
Okay.
Then they'll put it into the forced carbonation and carbonate it and package it.
Okay.
Whether they're doing kegs, cans, bottles, whatever.
Right.
And you get a little more those wine notes from it, where you get the wood and things like that coming out of it.
Okay.
Quite often they'll integrate that in with sour beers.
Okay.
When you get a little bit of lactose bacillus in there. And that gives it a little tanginess.
Yeah.
And there's people that like that. Personally, I'm a more pure ale guy.
Yeah.
But there were big buzzes about several of those that came through. But there were also lines for the good old standards. You know, Bell's had a great line.
Yeah.
Shorts had cut blocks of ice out of the lake up there behind the brewery, brought 3 skids of them down in trucks, and built their bar out of blocks of ice from the lake.
Oh, now that's cool.
Joe Short called me up on Friday morning. He says, hey, can you get over here and get on your high-low and unload these? I'm like, I'm there, Joe.
Yeah. Yep. How cool is that? And it was cold enough that they didn't melt a lot, and they're, you know, there they were.
We had a joke amongst the logistics crew that the guild had bought skids of ice for brewers that demand ice.
Yeah.
And we determined we had zero melt on Friday night. We didn't lose a single drop.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And the beer fest was on Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah. It was a 1-day deal. Yep. So pretty well attended.
Yeah. I think we did pretty good. I think there was probably just over 3,500 there.
Yeah.
Plus, you got all the brewery staff. You got all the logistics staff that work out there in the park. Park does the concessions and the security.
Right.
So they had a ton of people there, too.
Yep.
And LMCU does a great job of reaching out and supporting events when it's not baseball season.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a great venue because they got plenty of parking.
Right. Yep. And the restrooms are there, and you can get out of the weather if you need to. And, it's just it is a fantastic venue.
American Rentals brings in enough Americans, as they call them.
Yeah. Right.
That everybody's got enough to relieve themselves.
Right.
And we always joke about the volume of beer versus the volume that the Americans hold.
Yeah, the number of porta potties versus the number of kegs.
It's a calculation.
Right, yeah. It's probably about even.
Well, it's a big deal to put on a festival that big and to coordinate all those brewers coming in, setting up the tents, the porta-johns, the people that just organized stuff. It's a huge deal.
So the food that was there was concessions from the Whitecaps organization.
Yeah, they had like foot-long corn dogs.
Oh, yeah.
I think they had the turkey legs, burgers and chicken sandwiches and stuff.
That's nice.
You know, something to eat while you're doing it. But a lot of people still do the big necklace.
Pretzel necklace or whatever it is.
Pretzels, sausages, cheeses.
Oh, yeah.
Slices of
pizza. Pretzel necklace? What?
Yeah, well, when you're out there drinking, you want, one, you just can't keep pounding beer without having a little something to eat. But two, the pretzels cleanse the palate.
Yeah.
So you can taste the next beer and not worry about the last one you had before you try this next one, right?
Yeah,
that's in theory anyway.
The connoisseurs.
Right.
That want to cleanse the palate.
Wow. Yeah,
but what it really is you want something to munch on between beers, and so you got it hanging around your neck, right?
<That's>
never
great.
Far away.
And it's always a big fashion show.
Oh, yeah.
Our county treasurer, Pete McGregor.
Yeah.
He was there in a full disco outfit.
Oh, really?
Because it was his birthday, too.
Oh, okay.
And so all of a sudden, Petey came up behind me, and he's like, I bet you don't know who I am. I'm like, Petey, I'd recognize you anywhere.
Right, yeah.
But he had the wig and the big, like, foil jumpsuit.
Oh, yep. My goodness.
Platform shoes, the whole deal.
Oh, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good stuff. But, so, Chaz, we're wrapping up this last segment. We haven't talked a bit about grilling yet, but I've been on this carnivore diet. We went on vacation, and like everybody else, if you're fortunate, I drank too much, I ate too much, I came back 10 pounds heavier, and my wife's like, well, we're going to lose some weight, we're going to go on this carnivore diet. Damn if it hasn't worked. I've lost like 14 pounds in about 20 days here. You don't eat a lot, but you eat a lot of protein, dairy, eggs, and fatty meats. Well, that's right up a griller's alley. I've been,
What I'm doing wrong? I'm eating lean meats.
Yeah, right. No, I've been eating, ribeyes, at least a couple a week. And, man, there's nothing wrong with that. But I will tell you that, you know, my tech, it has that glass, on there. It was like 5 below, and I lit that thing up and I heard that glass go, and she popped.
Oh.
So that's a couple $100 I got to spend to get a new one of those. But at the end of the day, I think I just turned it up high, and it was so stinking cold that the immediate heat that hit that thing just popped it. And so it's my own damn fault. But
should have warmed it up.
Warmed
slower.
It up a little bit, yeah, rather than turn it on high because that flame comes up. But I've been loving the grilling the last 2 weeks. It still works, but you know whatever. It's just a part.
Oh, I was doing venison kebabs the other night.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a little bit of a respite to the cold.
Right.
So I could get out there on the deck and get to the big Weber, and I put on a half dozen kebabs with just some venison, some onions, some mushrooms.
Mm.
Oh, it turned out really good.
Yeah. Yep. That is
and
good.
I just did a little marinade that I learned in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
When I was ice fishing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's flavors from all around the world, and they're all good if you like them, right? I mean, and so why not? If you've got a cool one, you go with it. But, you know, so, hey, thanks for – I know you're not 100% above the weather. Thanks for coming in and sitting in for Barbecue Bob. That was a great show. I really enjoy when we get a chance to talk to these entrepreneurs that are making beer, and they're still doing it. Everybody thought it was a fad 10, 15 years ago, and these are guys that got legitimate businesses and that are really adding to the fabric of our communities.
And you're going to have to take Lisa to Lake Ann now.
No, I know. And I'm gonna call Matt because he's got local knowledge of places, and I just need a three-night stay in the middle of August in northern Michigan. You can't be wrong with that. So you've been listening to The Grilling Guys. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or smoker, create some grill envy in your neighborhood, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.